The other side of AI is this predictive AI. And where that's really powerful is looking for patterns. That teacher often will know which students are struggling with which particular areas, but it's very difficult to get down to the fine detail and the kind of connectivity of what is the skill that is the roadblock.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to a new bonus episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by EdShed, an industry-leading platform that provides high-quality, research-based resources to your classroom. EdShed includes Spelling Shed, which is a spelling curriculum based on science of reading research, and it also includes Phonics Shed, which provides narrative-driven, multi-sensory planning and resources to teach early reading and writing. Your students will love EdShed's worldwide popular games, which enhance learning and help to develop core skills. Sign up for free at www.edshed.com. That's edshed.com. Today's episode is titled The Role of AI in Teaching Literacy Skills, a bonus episode with EdShed. And I'm excited to welcome back Martin and Maggie from their team to talk about foundational literacy skills and the connection to artificial intelligence. I chatted with them about literacy skills in the past, and today our conversation takes an AI spin. You'll hear about the differences between predictive AI and generative AI, what educators should consider about literacy instruction, and how online tools can gamify and personalize instruction for students. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you both back to chat about this topic of the role of AI in teaching literacy skills, rethinking how we're teaching core literacy skills. But before we get into all of that, can you share a bit about your roles in education for listeners? Tell them what your day-to-day looks like.
Okay, I'm Martin Saunders. I'm CEO of EdShed. I work out of our headquarters in the UK. So my day-to-day, obviously within EdShed, we work with a lot of schools providing products for their students. I'm also chair of governors at a UK primary school, which is like head of the school board. And I do a little bit of year two math, which is like first grade, getting in there with usually like adding numbers back 10.
Nice. Yeah. And I'm Maggie Mosby. I'm the curriculum director for the US side. I'm a former teacher, former reading interventionist. And my day to day is mostly at this time content creation. So making lessons, doing research, backing up the spelling lessons with morphology, etymology, things like that. I do a little bit of customer support, you know, help customers get started, get going, troubleshoot, things like that. So that's my day-to-day.
Fantastic. And, you know, today we're talking about literacy skill development. Can you start by telling us about key literacy skills like phonics and spelling for listeners who may not be in that world as part of their day-to-day?
Yeah. Phonics and spelling, they're key literacy skills. They work together to help develop proficient readers. Encoding or spelling is a developmental process that helps impact fluency, writing, pronunciation, and vocabulary. And research has found that fluency is best developed through a combination of mastering systematic phonics, practicing high-frequency words, and repeated readings. The National Assessment of Educational Progress confirms that alphabetic knowledge, oral language, and phonological awareness provide the foundation for reading success. And the National Reading Panel found that phonemic awareness, or being aware of the individual sounds within words, it's required for reading. Mm-hmm. It enables children to read words rapidly and accurately, freeing up brain space for comprehension. Phonemic awareness also helps children learn to spell. And students learn to connect sounds to letters in predictable patterns. So spelling instruction should intersect with phonemic awareness and phonics instruction, especially in the primary grades. Many of the practices and strategies used to teach phonics also help teach early spelling. But in the later grades, the focus of spelling instruction and practice, it should shift to morphology and etymology, but also still include some phonemic review as well. Including this morphology and etymology into the instruction, it really helps students use the knowledge of word parts and origins to connect to new and unfamiliar words, and it helps build that vocabulary acquisition. With this strong foundation of literacy skills, other essential reading skills such as fluency, comprehension, and vocabulary, they become more accessible for students to acquire. So these foundational skills are really important to build early on.
Yeah, and I really appreciate, Maggie, that overview, because for some listeners, they might be very deep, right, in this work when it comes to literacy and what best practices are and the conversations, right, widely around literacy and what that looks like here in the US, right, and beyond. So having that all in mind, you know, what are some of the challenges teachers face in addressing literacy skill building? Are there roadblocks that they face as they work to support their students?
I mean, yes, there's always roadblocks. I mean, I'm a former teacher and reading interventionist, and I've come across many roadblocks in literacy skill development. I mean, I think one of the first things is the range of varying ability levels of students in the classroom. Most often grouping and finding time to reach the needs of each group, it can really be a challenge. And another challenge that ties in with that is having or finding quality materials that help support differentiated instruction. Sometimes you're required to use the materials the school provides, but they're not always the best choice. And if you decide to use alternative supporting materials or have to find core materials on your own, searching for those materials is very time consuming, and many teachers don't know where to look. I mean, I think another challenge is teacher training too. Using the science of reading research to shape your instruction is a relatively newly popular concept, I feel. And many teachers were not initially trained in best practices that research supports. I know my teacher training didn't necessarily do that. I had to kind of find it on my own. And if your school doesn't provide courses to help learn these practices, teachers are left spending their own time and most likely their own money learning these methods. And they might not be able to find a reputable source to provide the training. So another time-consuming process that could deter people from seeking out the information.
Yeah, and just, you know, acknowledging those roadblocks are so important, especially with the shifting that's happening in literacy instruction across the country, the science of reading, right, as you mentioned. And I was in a school just yesterday, as we're recording this, right, just yesterday in Connecticut, where we were talking a lot about the time-saving aspect of using digital tools and looking for supplemental resources to support students. And, you know, AI has been a big part of everyone's conversation inside of education and outside of education, you know, for the past year and, you know, and further back than that. So, you know, how do you envision AI transforming the way students learn core literacy skills? Or are you seeing this happening already?
So I think the first thing to say with any digital tool is that, you know, I don't think you're ever really going to replace a teacher. I think you're always going to need a teacher, particularly for, you know, young children, you know, understanding their needs in a classroom and working out sort of how to engage them and teach them and direct them. I don't think you can ever do a better job than a teacher does. I think where digital tools come in is they give some tools. They make things easier in various different ways. So AI, there's really two kind of groups of tools and sort of advantages you can get. The first thing is generative AI, which the ChatGPT has everywhere and lots of similar equivalent things. And that's about making content really quickly and easily. The other is what we call like predictive AI, which is looking for patterns. Generative AI, as Maggie said, one really serious common roadblock is where you need some content and you can write it. You know, a teacher can write a story, you know, and or a piece of text or an example, or, you know, but it takes time. Whereas with something like ChatGPT or an equivalent generative AI tool, you can just ask it to generate you some content and it will, you know, put out a whole thing straight away. But you can go, either, you know, can you write me a story about kittens on Mars? And you'll get a story. And then you can go, could you make it suitable for 6-year-olds?
Yeah.
And it changes the lexile level and it can make it a little bit shorter. And then you can kind of work with it to shape your tool. And then there you go. You still have to proofread it. And, you know, AI, it's still a machine. It's only as good as the sort of material, which, you know, sometimes can be inappropriate. And then there's, there are tools which allow you to create tool kind of content sets that are a little bit more restricted so you can improve it. But I think you will always need, as a teacher, to proofread the materials that you're going to use, whether they're from a textbook or, you know, whether they're from an AI generator. But the time saver in terms of producing the content that is exactly what you need and at exactly the right reading level, and or to just quickly on the fly just make something more challenging, to go, this child is, you know, they're this is too easy for them, let's add some challenge. So can we increase the lexile level of this reading content? Can we replace this word with something that's more challenging, and just work with it and shape it into something that you can just use right, but really, really quickly, because teacher time is, you know, it's always in short supply, isn't it? The other side of AI is this predictive AI. And where that's really powerful is looking for patterns that a teacher often will know, you know, which students are struggling with which particular areas, but it's very difficult to get down to the fine detail and the kind of connectivity of what is the skill that is like the road. And where, what you can do with those AI tools, you can look at data which you might have collected, you know, through whatever, with just regular assessments or online platforms and games can be really useful for that sort of thing. And you can crunch it all up and then go, right, if the student just could learn this then you can unlock all this other stuff. So that means you can plan your intervention and you can kind of forecast the, you know, what is it that we need to run to add on to our, you know, tier one instruction that means that actually all students can access this piece of learning.
Yeah. And that emphasis that you placed on how predictive AI can address certain needs, right, and concerns that we have as educators, and the generative AI, right? Having kind of all of these pieces, you know, together, they really do complement one another in terms of creating a robust experience for students, but at the same time, honoring how much time we have in the day. Yep. And I appreciate what you said too, Martin, just about, you know, the idea that this is not going to replace a teacher, because a teacher needs to know what to ask for, right? Or needs to say, make this shorter, make this lexile at work. And that's where, right, the experience, the expertise, right, they can really shape this journey for students with this technology, right, as part of their tool belt. And a lot of companies, right, are thinking about the best way to leverage AI to personalize learning for students. What is your approach to this? You know, what are you most excited about in this space?
Okay. One thing that I've really noticed kind of since COVID actually is there's been a bit of a shift, I think, in terms of how like school tech works in towards kind of consumer tech. Mm-hmm. And there's some well-known kind of consumer learning products, lots to do with language learning, I have to say. That's probably, I would say, the most evolved in sort of tech. And it seems like, I think educators were a little bit nervous about giving up kind of responsibility to the tech. And since then, I think there's just so many students have so many gaps that I think the technology's got to a point where it actually is reliable and educators can say, okay, let's let the tech do the work. We'll focus on our tier one instruction, our interventions, our face-to-face stuff. But all that bit in between, that's where the sort of the value add can come. And that's what we've tried to do. We've got a feature called Mastery Zone within Spelling Shed. And what that does is it runs a little diagnostic. So what it tries to do is work out, well, this student, where are they? So in terms of a kind of rough sort of spelling age starting point, then it looks backwards. So it goes, what are you working on now? Let's work on some of that. What should you know? Do you actually know it? Can we find any gaps? And if we find a gap, let's close that, because you know, your foundation is what a strong house is built on. So it goes back and it won't let a student move on until actually they've got their precursor skills, because hey, if you don't haven't got a first grade skill, what's the point of trying to learn a third grade skill? So close those gaps up and then move them on at their own rigor. So on one hand, you don't want them to go to miss things. On the other hand, actually, if they're no step, you don't want them to stay behind doing stuff which is far too simplistic for them. You want to challenge them and you want to make the most out of their learning time. So it kind of works out the pacing, but it also makes sure that they're not able to kind of skip over gaps in their learning. And the other thing that kind of gives is kind of like a spelling inventory. So then you can say, well, actually, these are the skills you should know, which ties back to Maggie's sort of first point about sort of systematic explicit learning, that actually being explicit about the skills that you should know by a certain grade level, do you? You know, and so being able to go through those and to sort of audit them, but actually not in a really onerous way where you're just doing tests to death. So they just completely turns children up when they just learn this thing, go fail, go do a test. Well, actually, just do this fun thing. And, you know, what we now know is this is your kind of profile. This is what you need to work on. This is how you unlock your learning. And this is how we move you forward kind of most quickly.
And that distinction between how you're really leveraging this technology to what people might have seen or heard in other places, I think is really special. And, you know, I want to make sure that we hear a little bit more about all the things Spelling Shed can do. I know that you have a new ambassador or champion program. Can you tell us a bit about that too? You know, and what schools can do to jump in and get involved with all of this. So a lot there I'm asking of you, but if you could tell us a bit more about Spelling Shed and the community initiatives, I think that'd be lovely for listeners to hear about.
Right. Yeah. So first of all, Spelling Shed is, as the name suggests, it's a spelling product. It's aimed for K through fifth grade. It has a fully resourced teaching content, which uses all those tools like, you know, phonics skills, morphology, etymology, teachers, orthographic choices, and you know, it's tied all back by research, all very kind of carefully produced. There's also a set of online games which say students love playing. I think the test for me is if you go on somewhere like YouTube and you search for us, you'll see a whole ton of student created content, which they probably shouldn't be on the platform because they're not old enough. But it sort of shows their enthusiasm. And I've had children firsthand, the proud moment when an 8-year-old tells you that actually Spelling Shed is better than Fortnite. This is a spelling product, which is something which you kind of, your knee-jerk reaction is that it's something that may be a little bit boring, but actually it's important. It's the underpinning of understanding words underpins understanding all of literacy.
Yeah.
And they enjoy doing it, you know, so that's that. So you easily get started. There's a kind of free tier in our product. So you play the games, you get to set a certain amount of content. We've got some free tools, like we've got a letter tile tool that lets you set up kind of phonics or word study, which is just, you don't even have to sign in. It's just a freely available thing. And we've got our champion and ambassador scheme, which we're starting to run this year, which Maddie will be running for us. And what that essentially is, it's three tiers where you have an EdShed champion, which means you within your school or your district, you're the person who understands our products. And so you can just facilitate other educators and the students getting the most out of our products. An ambassador is somebody who then goes a step further and helps educators outside of their campus maybe to learn about the advantages and the sort of benefits of the product. And then the other sort of the final tier is a demonstrator school, which is schools who have good impact to just share that with other schools to just sort of show it being used in place. And again, you know, what everyone wants, every educator out there wants is impact for their students. And so it's just about allowing people to sort of share what actually works in reality to each other. And so, you know, you want to listen to a salesperson, you talk to another teacher and they'll tell you whether something works or not.
And I love that community aspect. And of course, the fact that someone can jump right in, right? And try this out for free, have that gamification aspect, like you mentioned, for students to be able to practice in a way that may be more relevant to their own experiences in digital spaces than in our experiences, right? Every day in digital spaces. So can you tell us, you know, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
So the first place would be our website, which is edshed.com, edshed.com. We're on all of the usual socials and we'll be at a bunch of expos this year. So we're at TCEA, we're at CAEYC, we're at ISTE, and I'm sure we'll pop up at some others.
Well, Martin, Maggie, thank you so much for your time today. I'll link out to all the things we talked about so someone who's listening or running around on the go knows they can come right back here and tap on some links and go explore a bit further. So thank you for coming back to the podcast and joining in today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It was so much fun chatting with Maggie and Martin again today. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from the episode. Phonics and spelling are important components of literacy instruction. Generative AI and predictive AI can both support teaching and learning. Students can practice literacy skills through independent practice, like online games. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from today's episode at classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at EdShed. A big thank you to EdShed, our sponsor for this episode. Don't forget to visit www.edshed.com and sign up for free. That's www.edshed.com, EdShed.com. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor, and lots of you have already helped out over the past few weeks. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars. Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.